What's up? It's me, Lisa. Bose Ultra Open Earbuds are one of my favorites. As a musician, sound is the most important part of the process. I've been so busy and always on the move, so if I can keep my music with me wherever I go, that would keep the inspiration going. The look of the Ultra Open Earbuds remind me of ear cups, so I would style it like an accessory. Check out Bose.com for more.
We might be nearing a resolution to the Brandon Ayuk saga that exists right now in San Francisco. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Protect the stuff you love with renter's insurance. Visit progressive.com. It is actually Amber and Ian tonight. I'm not used to saying that, Ian. I'm used to having to introduce somebody else or filling in for you, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. But it's actually Ian. So you can find him at Ian Fitz ESPN. You can find me as well at Amber W Sports. Ian's back, if just for a day, because then you're gone doing
I've got a college football seminar. I'm up in Bristol. So, look, SEC Media Days, that was my vacation for a week, along with Big Ten Media Days. That was my next vacation, because the actual vacation isn't a vacation. It's a myth. You know, when you have kids, all I do is go to the grocery, I cook, I clean, and rinse, repeat every single day. My vacation was actually the 10-hour days at SEC Media Days and Big Ten Media Days. That was a blast. We'll touch more on that coming up. But it is good to see you. It is good to be back. I'll be here for a night, and then we have the seminar tomorrow, Wednesday, and I'll be back again Thursday, Friday.
Well, we did get a ton of really good sound from you out of SEC Media Days and Big Ten Media Days. So you were here in spirit. We did play a lot of the interviews that you had an opportunity to sit down with people at both of those conferences during your 10-hour work days that were like
awesome.
A vacation compared to your actual vacation with your family there for a couple of weeks. But Brandon Ayuk, I don't know if he's taking a vacation anytime soon. Right now, he's a bit disgruntled. It does appear, though, that there may be a resolution in terms of the situation with San Francisco. We are hearing that it's more than likely now that Ayuk may in fact be traded, because apparently there are some willing partners to play ball. The Cleveland Browns, the New England Patriots, and most notably now the Pittsburgh Steelers have reportedly been very interested in trading for Brandon Ayuk. And Ian, this situation's interesting because you're not going to trade for Ayuk unless you're willing to hand him an extension. Because we know that's what he wants. Otherwise, he'd just be staying in San Francisco. Like, all the man wants is to be paid. He doesn't actually have a problem with San Francisco or the 49ers itself. And so you're not going to trade for him unless you're going to make good on the extension. And we know where the wide receiver market has gone. So you're going to end up paying this man a lot of money if you trade for him. But then also, San Francisco's going to want some real assets in return for him. So it's going to be a high price for any of these teams that are considering this as an option.
Without a doubt. And as you just pointed out, the wide receiver market has gone crazy. Are you going to pay him Nico Collins money, $24.25 million, that he just signed guaranteed per for the Houston Texans? I think he wants more than that. You know, I mean, I think he wants more of A.J. Brown, Amon Ross St. Brown money. 1,300-yard receiver for the San Francisco 49ers, NFC champs. I mean, he was their leading receiver last year. So this is very simple to me, and this has been all over the place, and you're spot on when the reports are all over. You know, oh, he may be going to Pittsburgh. No, because of the interest, the Niners are now in even more intense talks to have him, you know, stay in San Francisco. This is pretty simple. Either you pay him if you're San Francisco, because you can't pay everybody. I mean, you just paid Bosa, so you're going to have to pay Brock Purdy. You just paid Christian McCaffrey. I mean, they got a laundry list of remarkable, talented guys that are going to have to be paid. And that's the Dallas Cowboys. You can't pay them all. Of course, at least San Francisco is paying some of them, unlike Jerry and the Cowboys, right? At least they're getting some guys taken care of. You pay him, you trade him, or you don't do anything because he is under contract. Those are the three options. Pick one. I mean, this has been going on for a while now with Brandon Ayuk. Going back to even the offseason last year, we knew this was coming up. The Niners and John Lynch, the general manager, knew this was coming up. Then the Super Bowl happens. It's done. You know he's going to want to be paid. And then the wide receiver market went insane. I mean, it went nuclear. Boom! I mean, just blew the bleep up. And he's kicking back right now as a you know, he's not holding out, he's holding in, which I think that's always smart. Be present and in front of the people that you want to pay you. So I think the hold in is always a smart move by any player. And those are the three options, Amber. Pay him, trade him, or don't do anything and see if he wants to sit out a year and miss an entire year, which also goes to your, you know, your next contract, because then you push that back a year. Or he's disgruntled, but he gets his butt on the field. Those are the three options, and the reports, to your point also, have been all over the place. Oh, he's going to Pittsburgh. Oh, the Patriots are going to make a big offer. Oh, wait, hold on a minute. The Niners now, because it became, you know, so all these rumors are out there. No, we're going to pay him. Look, eventually this thing is going to get done before the season begins. One of those three. They pay him, they trade him, or they don't do a damn thing and see what he does.
And I thought that they were going to opt for the latter option there, not do a damn thing and see what he does, frankly. And in part, not just because they couldn't necessarily work out a trade for him, or not just because they're not in a position necessarily to pay him, because like you said, they have Brock and everybody else that's coming up that they have to worry about paying in addition to the guys that they just paid. But frankly, because they are right now immediately a contender. Obviously, it's a team we just saw in a Super Bowl. And in order for them to actually get over the hump and win a Super Bowl, they're not any closer to that goal without Brandon Ayuk. So I figured that if anything, they were going to rock with him for at least one more season, because this season is a Super Bowl win or bust kind of season for the San Francisco 49ers. However, apparently they are listening to the other trade offers. But the thing is, Ian, they've been listening to these trade offers since before the NFL draft. They were in search, reportedly, of a first round pick. They couldn't get it because, again, here's the problem. Are you going to cough up a first rounder or a bunch of draft capital for Ayuk and then also pay him when the wide receiver market right now is getting out of control? I mean, I don't like using that terminology because I guess that's not the perspective of the player, but right. You know what I mean. From the team 100%. Perspective, anyways, it continues to increase. At the time, it was $28 million per year, and it seemed like no team was willing to do that and give up the draft capital that the 49ers wanted. Now, it's at least $30 million per year. So the price has gone up even since that time when they couldn't find a trade partner back then. So now they're going to find a trade partner that's willing to give them the assets that they want in return and also cough up that kind of money to Ayuk. It's a more complicated situation than I think people realize.
And, Amber, we haven't even mentioned Trent Williams, who also wants a new contract. Yep. Their star left tackle in San Francisco.
Hold out, right? Trent Williams.
Absolutely. So you look, and there's another aspect we haven't mentioned. Your Florida Gator. In my opinion, the best slot receiver in the entire draft. Preach. I didn't think he was going in the first round. I thought he was going to be a late second type. But Ricky Pearsall, they spent a first round pick on the outstanding wideout from your beloved Florida Gators. You've got Deebo Samuel, Juwan Jennings. But is Pearsall going to come in and replace Ayuk right away? Hell no, I'm not expecting that. But the Niners have got that sent a bit of a message to me that they weren't willing to pay what Ayuk wants. Yep. And that was at the draft. That was before Justin Jefferson. That was before all the other guys that have gotten a truckload of cash. And now you also have Trent Williams. Man, one thing, when you have this many guys wanting big time contracts and glorious money, that means you've drafted very well and you are a legit contender to hoist a Lombardi. The downside, you got a lot of people wanting that glorious cash and these big contracts, and it's hard to try and figure out which ones you pay and which ones you say thank you for your service.
When you draft really well, also, you have confidence that the guys you drafted are going to work out. And you're absolutely right. With them spending a first rounder on Pearsall, I thought at the time, that's an indication Ayuk is not going to be long for the San Francisco 49ers. But like you said, Pearsall also isn't a guy that's supposed to walk into this league and be NFL ready day one. And so you bring him in for some certain packages, you work him into things, you bring him in on special teams, and you have him sit behind Ayuk for a year. And then all of a sudden, you have a guy there in a slot receiver who's on a rookie deal moving forward once you have to move on from Brandon Ayuk. I thought that was the plan in San Francisco, frankly. And now I'm questioning it, because if they do trade Brandon Ayuk away, then Ricky Pearsall is going to have to be more ready sooner rather than later. But I do think the fact that they spent that draft capital on him showed that they felt like there was going to be a need there that they were going to have to address, because they didn't want to pay their entire wide receiver room. And it makes sense. It's a salary cap sport. We see the situation playing out in Dallas as well. When you draft well, the downside is after these rookie deals, when they start expiring, you got to pay the bill becomes due, and you have to grapple with doing that versus trusting how good you are at finding that talent in the NFL draft. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, we give you the best case, worst case scenarios for Rachel, our associate producer's favorite team. We never get to talk about the Carolina Panthers. Let's give them some love next, right here on ESPN Radio.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
Yo, hockey's here, and it's colder than ice, like cold, cold. But with BetMGM, I can heat the game up with overs, unders, parlays, and moneylines, all from the comfort of my 102-degree hot tub. Now I'm really putting fire on the ice. This hockey season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. And in the world of interior paint, Bear Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Bear, with everything you want in a paint, all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Bear Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Bear Dynasty interior paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection.
This is
180.
ESPN Radio's NFL Two-A-Days. The Carolina Panthers.
This is David Newton covering the Panthers, and the storyline now is the same as it was in January after an NFL worst 2-15 season, quarterback Bryce Young. The top pick of the 2023 draft had a historically bad rookie season, so the organization hired its version of the quarterback whisperer and head coach Dave Canales and spent the offseason putting better players around Young. From a confidence standpoint, Young doesn't appear ruined. He's already benefiting greatly from an addition of wide receiver Deontay Johnson and the upgrades in the middle of the offensive line that gave up 35 of the team's 62 sacks last season should improve protection. But ultimately, the success of a team that's had six straight losing seasons hinges on Young.
So we don't get an opportunity to talk much about the Carolina Panthers. You're welcome, America. But
Did you just say you're welcome, America?
I mean, outside of Rachel Robinson, our associate producer, who the hell wants us to talk a lot about the Carolina Panthers?
I don't even think Luke Combs, who's a diehard Carolina Panther fan, wants us to talk a lot about the Carolina Panthers.
I don't even
Panthers.
Want you to talk, because I don't want a reminder of how bad my team is. It's fine.
Well, listen, we're going to talk, but we're going to do this in our own fashion here on Amber and Ian. We're going to play a little best case, worst case, Carolina Panther style. Let's get to it.
Best case.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Worst case.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
It's a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Best case, worst case with Amber and Ian.
So let's make Rachel happy. Ian, let's start with the positivity here. What is your best case scenario for the Carolina Panthers this season?
Dave Tepper sells the team.
New owner. That's best case scenario.
Best case.
You're not wrong.
The dude got me. He stopped at a restaurant, or no, it was a convenience store that had a sign out front, you know, saying, basically asking him to sell the team or whatever, or, you know, it was a negative message on their sign. Right. It wasn't like, you know, this is on sale or 2-for-1 deal on whatever. No, no, no. It was ripping the Carolina Panthers, and this man is so thin-skinned, he stopped, heard about it, drove over there, and then had this long conversation. It didn't get heated, but for him to be have that those kind of rabbit ears as an NFL owner, that is no bueno. So best case scenario for Luke Combs, for Rachel Robinson, for any Carolina Panther fan, the Chris Edwards family, good friends of mine, they're like family in Charlotte, North Carolina. For anybody that's a Carolina Panther fan, tongue-in-cheek, but yet somewhat serious, Dave Tepper sells the team. There's your best case scenario.
I can't argue with that being a very good case scenario for Carolina Panthers fans. Certainly if Dave Tepper just stops meddling with the team. I mean, that in and of itself would be a good case scenario there for the Carolina Panthers. But I'll go, I think, maybe even the more obvious route, which best case scenario for this Carolina Panthers team is that Bryce Young looks like the guy that the Carolina's Panthers drafted him to be with that number one overall pick. And a lot of people get confused. Ian, you and I have talked about it ad nauseum, right? A lot of people seem to think that because CJ Stroud was successful, for some reason, Bryce Young can't be, right? Like those two things are mutually exclusive, and they are not. Both of those guys can pan out. Both of those guys could end up being great in the NFL. It would just be via quite different paths. Bryce Young had a terrible rookie season, but you just heard it there on the intro. They did bring in Diontae Johnson because those receivers weren't doing Bryce Young
any favors.
They could not get any separation there in Carolina at all. So you did have the Panthers bring in Diontae Johnson. They selected Xavier Legette in the draft. They've tried to put new weapons around him. Plus, they've tried to shore up that O-line in front of him. Robert Hunt ends up there in Carolina. And so they have tried here in a sophomore season for Bryce Young to improve around him and then also the head coach. The head coach that was responsible, or a lot of people point to him as responsible for the resurgence of Baker Mayfield in Tampa. A head coach that was in Seattle under Pete Carroll for years before that. He now finds himself in Carolina tasked with getting the most out of the former number one overall pick in Bryce Young. Best case scenario, they do that. I don't think, like, it doesn't matter where they finish in the division. It doesn't matter how many games they win, Ian. They could win two games again. It makes no difference if you could see that you hit on Bryce, which it would be hard to win that few games if you hit on Bryce. But if you could see that you hit on Bryce Young, that's every case. That is the case. That's all you need if you're Carolina.
I'm going to give you an example on to your point right there. Like, to be serious, I was obviously tongue in cheek with Dave Tepper. Show improvement.
You were right.
And I'm going to get. Well, I don't know. You were right though.
You were right.
I think every Carolina Panther fan was like, "Hell yes!" But anyway, I point to Dan Campbell, year one, Detroit Lions. Win loss record horrendous, but they were in 7 or 8 games. They showed marked improvement and a competitive fire. And then that translated into year two. And then last year we saw them in the NFC Championship game. So best case is you just show marked improvement. I don't care if you win 2 games. If you're in 8 of them and it comes down to 1 score, you're improving. And then you build on that going into the next season. Worst case, you don't show improvement. Well, you continue to stink. Right? And you win a game. I mean, that's
Hey, we
that's
won
Carolina.
We won 2 last season.
Yeah, I'm well aware. My brother was on that staff. Trust me.
That's why he said a game. There was only one way to go from there, Rachel.
Well, I really think we can't have a worst case because, you know, the worst case is you're so bad you get the first pick and then you lose the first pick. We've already done that, so.
That's a good point. It is hard to get worse than what you guys were last season. I mean, I guess, but to Ian's point, the worst case would be for you to be some semblance of what you were last season, to basically end up somewhere around
show
where you were last season.
Show competitiveness and be in games. I'm being right. Dead serious now. That is a realistic expectation for arguably the worst team in the National Football League.
Can I say, I think our best case scenario is if we keep a head coach for an entire season.
Amen.
I think that is step one. Before improving, just keep a coach.
I'm less worried about the hot seat for Canales getting more worried about the hot seat for Bryce Young. Would a quarterback taken number one overall in his sophomore season be on a hot seat anywhere else in the NFL? Probably not. But we know how Tepper conducts himself, and we know the impatience there from Tepper. I feel like this year, as opposed to it being zeroed in on the head coach, maybe this year it's going to be zeroed in on the quarterback, his impatience. So I feel like in some strange way, Bryce Young is on a hot seat, even though he's only a second year quarterback, Ian. And that would be the worst case. The worst case would be that the Carolina Panthers realized that Bryce Young was a swing and a miss, and that you could have drafted CJ Stroud. And yet you ended up making the wrong decision there with that number one pick and taking Bryce Young, and it doesn't work out because he's not an NFL caliber quarterback. That would be the worst case scenario, because in that scenario, you have no hope. Like, you have no hope anytime soon.
Yeah,
you can already tell Bryce ain't it.
Well, last year he was, that offensive line, paper mache. Sherman offered more resistance in front of Bryce Young than that O-line did.
True.
It was absolutely it was an embarrassment to football. So he obviously regressed. His mechanics were awful, and that happens to any quarterback. Go ask Troy Aikman about his rookie year, in Dallas. Go ask Peyton Manning about his rookie year. He still holds the all-time record for interceptions in a season in his rookie year with the Indianapolis Colts. It ain't easy being a rookie. C.J. Stroud's the outlier of what happened with the Texans. It happened to be in the same draft as Bryce Young. So, Bryce Young, to your point, Amber, you're looking for him to take a big step forward. And again, I'm being serious with this. Just show that you are competitive and you're improving, and that is a win this year for the Carolina Panthers.
C.J. Stroud is definitely an outlier, but Bryce Young is also on the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Bryce Young, you could maybe argue a bit, is an outlier as well, like how terrible the rookie season was. 10 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, I think he ended up producing. The numbers are not good. They're egregious. But now you have a team signed to offensive linemen. You have a new wide receiver, one that they've brought in for Bryce Young. They've used their first four picks on offensive playmakers. It is now time for Bryce Young to prove himself. Coming up next, how in the world was Patrick Mahomes not the number one player on the NFL top 100 list? That's next.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ESPNPod and use code ESPNPod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNPod and use code ESPNPod.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. Honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like four of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying two or three times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Noted Carolina Panthers fans Luke Combs gracing the airwaves. We just did a whole segment on the Carolina Panthers. Get excited, Panthers fans. If you missed any of that, check out the podcast on the ESPN app. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. It is, in fact, Ian and Amber with you. You can find him at Ian Fitz, ESPN. You can find me as well at Amber W Sports. So, the NFL Top 100, Ian, came out. And we love lists this time of year because, listen, we need the content. But also,
I take most of July off?
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, I don't blame. Hey, you should have seen how many lists that we've done over the last month and a half. You've been gone. I mean, list after list after list. Okay, that's all we do around here this time of year. So this is the latest of that. And this time, this list is voted on by the other players in the NFL. And they did the thing. They understood. understand how the game is played. Ian, they gave us the content. I'm not sure they meant to, but they certainly gave us the content, because gracing this list at number one is not Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, in fact, graces the NFL top 100 list at number four. Instead, my guy, Tyreek Hill, comes in at number one on the NFL's top 100. He is the first wide receiver to grace the number one spot in the NFL's top 100's 14-year history. Obviously, we know Tyreek was on a tear this past season. He was going to break that 2,000-yard mark that no one has ever touched in NFL history. An injury there at the end of the season ends up costing him that mark, but still unbelievable what he ends up doing. He led the league with 1,799 receiving yards, and we know how fast he is. So Tyreek comes in there at number... What was that? That was unnecessary. I don't know.
That was aggressive.
That was really aggressive. That seems wildly unnecessary. So he's at number one. Lamar Jackson, rather, comes in at number two. So Lamar Jackson, the first quarterback on this list, comes in at number two.
That's when I stopped reading. Right there. That's when I quit. I'm out.
And then Christian McCaffrey, and then Patrick Mahomes. Go ahead.
I mean, I stopped it too.
So you were kind of okay with number one? Like, at first you were kind of intrigued by Tyreek?
Well, yeah. I mean, when I saw Tyreek, our college football crew with Mark Kestershire, you know, Kelly Stauffer, former first round pick out of Colorado State to the Seahawks, brilliant football mind, and our producer John Madani, we'll do three or four NFL games. Also have some double headers during the year, and every time I talk to defensive coordinators in the league, you ask about, you know, guys who you really lose sleep over, the name Tyreek Hill comes up every single time. He's just different. He's going to go down as one of the greatest to ever play the position and play the game. He's 30 and still turning the top off, you know, defenses. Corners lose sleep at night. Defensive coordinators don't sleep all week preparing for Tyreek Hill. So, I mean, would I put him number one? No. Would I have him number two? But the moment I got to number two, who was Lamar Jackson, last time I checked, the Chiefs went to Baltimore last year, quarterback by some dude named Patrick Mahomes, and beat Lamar and the Ravens at their place. And last year, Patrick Mahomes' receivers led the league in drops, and they still hoisted the stinking Lombardi in back-to-back seasons. And Lamar Jackson is ahead of Patrick Mahomes. That's when I went, that's it. I'm out. Why? Because every now and then, you poke the bear, and you're trying to maybe, you know, stick it to him a little bit, like the players who were selected to vote this year, Amber, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. I think some of them just said, you know what, I ain't voting for Patrick. I'm tired of him. I'm tired of him kicking our ass. So I ain't voting for him, not number one or number two or number three. Some of them probably had him at 10. And you know all you did? Those who happened to do that for that guy wearing 15 in Kansas City, all you did was poke the bear. That's it. That's all you did. Instead of taking a shot at him and laughing, all you did was, that's another one that he'll file away and go unleash hell upon you.
Well, I do wonder, it could be fatigue in that sense, like you're saying. It could also be fatigue from the perspective that they're kind of expecting everybody else to vote for Patrick Mahomes. So they're kind of trying to go outside the box, voting for Lamar Jackson, right? Because that happens sometimes when it comes to voting. Like when I was in high school, Ian, we used to vote for, you know, most popular, best personality, all that kind of stuff. I don't know if they still do that, by the way, in high school.
It's
quite
probably offensive to do that now. Right.
Right? I mean, now it's probably offensive. Back in my day, kids, we used to vote for, and I remember, so one of the categories was most eye-catching, and there was the girl that we all thought of as the prettiest girl in my high school, right? And yet, I did not vote for her. A lot of people did not vote for
her
because I was also thinking, no, I'm not. I wasn't part of this conversation in high school. All right, don't peek in high school, guys and gals. Don't get upset if you ain't peeking in high school, okay? Nothing wrong with not peeking in high school, trust, okay? No, I was not part of the conversation. It was this other girl, and she was considered by far, you know, like the hottest girl in my grade or whatever. And yet, she didn't end up winning because me and a bunch of other people, like, we voted, like, we kind of went outside the box and voted for this other girl that I also thought was very, very pretty. And I kind of thought, well, I'm voting for this other girl who's very pretty, but I thought there's no way that girl number one doesn't win. Like, I'm going to be the only person voting for this other person, right? Because everybody's going to vote for this other girl who's, like, the most popular girl in my high school. But then everybody took that approach. So then that girl didn't end up winning the category. That could have happened here, where everybody thought that the next guy was going to vote for Patrick Mahomes, so they did it. They voted for the reigning MVP in Lamar Jackson.
That's moronic.
Which, by the way, by the numbers, Lamar did have a better season, a better regular season than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, his guys were catching the football. But Mahomes was dropped. They were dropping the football. That's like, you know, that's the logic of the one guy who didn't vote for Derek Jeter on first ballot to be a Hall of Famer. Yeah. Everybody else is going to vote for him, so I guess I won't. I mean, come on. What are we doing? So my whole thing is, like, Tyreek Hill is an unbelievable talent. I would have had him too, but right now, until somebody unseats Mahomes, that dude is the best thing going in the National Football League. He's got the crown. He's the baddest mother on the block, and until you knock him off, he deserves to be number one.
Well, so I think the other thing that could have happened here, which I do think is what happened here with Tyreek, is I think that these players sometimes also use their votes on guys that they think have something so unbelievably unattainable in terms of athleticism that they themselves could never touch it. So they are almost evaluating the player in a different manner than the rest of us might be. In other words, it's not just ring counting. It's not just win losses. It's not even just necessarily success, but they're watching that dude play and they're like, holy bleep, right? Like, I think that's what happened here with Tyreek, because Tyreek is so unbelievably fast that every other person in the NFL is looking at him like, that dude, that I could
at
never
30,
be, no matter
at
how, 30. At 30, still the fastest guy in the league. Every other guy in that league is looking at him like, I could, there's nothing I could do. There's no amount of work I could put in to be that guy. So then he ends up garnering that level of respect and coming in at number one.
Do we have his reaction, Tyreek Hill's reaction, when he was told by Raheem Mostert that he was the number one overall player selected? If we don't, that's fine. I mean, he went ballistic. I mean, he was screaming and yelling, and it looked like he won the damn Super Bowl.
Well, and then he got paid.
Right. And I said, you know what? We're gonna stroke you another 30 mil. There you go, man. Yeah. On top of your current contract. I mean, that was genuine euphoria from Tyreek Hill. I mean, he went absolutely nuts. And that shows you the passion that he still has for the game. I think a lot of fans, you know, and people in our business also, we are fans. That's what we got into this. Look at it and go, it's not so much about the joy of the game and the respect from your peers. It's all about the money and stacking as much cash as you can, because you have a very limited window to play this very physical game. You could tell that dude still has a joy for playing the game just by the way he reacted when being told by his teammate he was number one overall in the players' poll for the top 100 in the game.
Well, I also think that some of it is about the perspective of who has made you that, right? In terms of whose opinion you respect more. So obviously you get the love and you get the accolades from the fans in that business. But I mean, take you, Ian Fitzsimmons here at ESPN. Would it mean more to you to be voted by listeners, by fans, which obviously would still mean a ton to you, if they voted you their favorite sports radio host in the country? Or would it mean more to you if the colleagues across sports radio or across ESPN voted you as the best ESPN personality or radio personality? Which one would mean more?
I'm going fans, because that means we're generating ratings, which leads to dollars. There you go.
Good answer. That was the placating answer. That was the good answer. That was the safe answer. That was the answer that our bosses wanted us to have. The reality is your colleagues voting for you, though, for that would mean a lot, because it's those people who are in the same business and really understand what you're doing and what you're bringing, right? And how difficult it is. And so I would imagine from that vantage point, Tyreek feels like the respect from his peers, from the other guys out there with him day in and day out, is so special for a guy who's already so decorated and obviously well recognized there as well. Then he turned that into a new contract with the Miami Dolphins worth $90 million over the next three seasons. $65 million of that is guaranteed. No years were added to this deal, Ian. The restructured agreement brings him to about $106.5 million in fully guaranteed money over a four-year total for his deal. That is the most ever by a wide receiver, which obviously that's what Tyreek wanted. Tyreek wanted some mark that makes him the most ever. So it's not just Justin Jefferson, right? Now he can point to that and be like, well, I have the most ever guaranteed ever for a wide receiver. That's what these guys are competing for. As a Dolphins fan, I don't hate it because it wasn't more years. Like, the whole problem is that he's 30. But I mean, hell, whatever. They have the money. That's fine. You throw them some more. What does it matter at the end of the day? They're not adding more years.
No. And again, he's still top end speed, fastest cat around. Xavier Worthy may have something to say about that soon, but, you know, first round pick out of Texas with the Kansas City Chiefs. But bottom line is, Tyreek was number one. It should have been Patrick. And when Lamar Jackson was voted number two and Mahomes was not in, you know, he was number four, that's when I stopped reading the list.
I mean, Lamar Jackson, MVP. Mahomes was not the MVP this season. Christian McCaffrey, third. I mean, he's obviously an unbelievable player as well. Patrick Mahomes comes in at fourth, and rounding out five on this list is Myles Garrett, making his defensive appearance there as the first defensive player on this list. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, it's story time with Ian Fitzsimmons.
Oh, you're going to love this one. You're either going to yell at me or laugh. You're going to want to punch me, or you're going to cry out loud laughing.
That's next on ESPN Radio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling, on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/network.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
What is the sport that they're like hitting back and forth a thing on a small court?
Badminton.
And then like it can't hit the ground. Is it badminton? It's got to be badminton, yeah, right? Is there badminton in the Olympics?
Yeah. I was watching women's skeet shooting yesterday. That woman from Chile was a bad A. Only she ever missed. Yeah, but that's badminton.
All right, well, badminton, I guess. I think that was just the gold final.
Forrest Gump did not win.
Television. And then I'm watching, I guess there's also field hockey, I think, on my screen. There's so many sports that I didn't know were included in these Olympics. It's really cool now that we have the streaming, getting to see it all and doing all these gold zones and everything else that they have. And when you can do all the like split screen and quad screens and everything.
Love it.
Yeah, it's been a very, I think it's one of the reasons that the ratings are up so high. We're going to talk about the Olympics a little bit later in the show, but certainly these Olympics have really been a monstrous success. Amber and Ian here with you on Amber and Ian. Shocking, I know. You can find him at Ian Fitz ESPN. You can find me as well at Amber W Sports. And Ian has been gone. He is making, this is his triumphant reappearance here because he's been gone from the show for like a month and a half.
Not a month and a half. It is not a month and a half.
I think it's been 2 months. I think it's been
6 months. It's been since the Super Bowl.
Months. That's what it feels like, honestly. It feels like you were gone for a very long time. At least a
you
month, right?
Me.
I think it was a solid month that you were gone for. Well, in July, that's like 7 months in sports radio.
Well, in fairness, I'm going to defend myself. I did work 2 weeks in July at SEC Media Days and Big Ten Media Days. But
yeah, but not here.
No.
You weren't doing the hard work where you're having to invent content.
I missed this.
There is no content and whatsoever to talk about. At SEC Media Days, at least you had stuff to discuss.
That was vacation. Like the rest of it was not vacation. I'm not joking.
Right. Well, let's do this. Let's get to story time with Ian Fitzsimmons.
It's story time with Ian Fitzsimmons.
So, yes, I every year I take basically the month of July off outside of football media days, where normally wherever they want to send me, typically it's SEC and somewhere else. And obviously this year with the expansion of the Big 12 and you know, the West Coast teams coming in, I got sent to Indianapolis, which was awesome. That truly was my vacation. Because in the mountains, Amber, going to the grocery and cleaning and cooking on a repeat basis, that was not vacation for me. I mean, it was like I was a just your live-in, you know, gopher and chef.
Right, I don't understand.
The fam.
Aren't your daughters, like, they both drive, right? Because they're 16 and 18.
Yeah,
I mean, isn't that the purpose of having teenagers is they go to the grocery store?
But I was not going to trust them. with Ed and Lisa Mathers' vehicles, right? They give us these great friends of ours give us their house in Park City, Utah, and I was not going to let these two Velociraptors operate those two vehicles. So that wasn't going to happen, right? That ain't covered under the insurance as far as that goes. So, and then that was mountains. Then I go to my dad's house in Santa Rosa, in Florida, near your neck of the woods, and I'm dealing with four teenage girls. I never had this concept that girls were this dirty. I mean, after 24 hours, these four teenagers had destroyed his guest house. I mean, it was crazy.
A lot of stuff. There's a lot of makeup.
Yes.
There's a lot of clothes.
I mean, and just, you know, stuff. There's a Cheetos bag over here, a half-eaten apple over here. I mean, it was like, a bomb went off in that joint. And it was nuts. So it dawned on me, flying up to Bristol, Connecticut. I'm not home in Dallas. So I'm here for the college football seminar, which begins tomorrow and goes through Wednesday. I'm checking into my hotel, and it dawned on me, thinking back to SEC media days and Big Ten media days, and then traveling every week for college football, which cranks up in about 3 weeks, it dawned on me, I had this glorious revelation, this epiphany, that one of my favorite things now going on the road is that I get to leave the toilet seat up. I'm not kidding. I'm not joking. I've got three women in my house, right? And so I've never understood the concept of why do women get so angry with men for leaving the toilet seat up?
You've clearly never fallen in a toilet in the middle of
the night.
We'll
get to that
in a
second.
That's clearly an experience you haven't had then.
But you can put it down. You see that it's up. But so last night, I get to my hotel. Flight was delayed. I mean, America knows exactly what I'm talking about. You know, the travel woes are coast to coast, border to border. But I'm sitting there, and I'm going, this is the most liberating time of my life.
I don't think your daughter necessarily agrees with
that. We can touch on that, Renee, in a second. But when I go on the road, it dawned on me. Seriously, it's like an epiphany. Every time I check into a hotel and go to the restroom, it's liberating to leave the toilet seat up. I don't put the damn thing down unless there's a reason to put the damn thing down. So it was like this glorious Alleluia chorus, hearing it in the background moment, that this is awesome. This is one of my favorite things in going on the road and staying in a hotel. I don't give a damn if it's the Ritz or keep the light on for me. That is awesome. Awesome. That is one of my favorite things now, is to be able to leave the toilet seat up. Now, go ahead, Renee.
I mean, you told us a story when it was Freddie and Fitzsimmons a few years ago, that something happened to your daughter, 13 years ago?
13? I can't believe you remember. I told the story like 8 years ago, and you remembered this. So my youngest daughter, Marin, was being potty trained, and she's three. And all of a sudden, I hear from upstairs, "Daddy, my tushy hit that toilet water. You left the seat up." And I hear my wife cackling, laughing. And that I also thought of that moment last night, going, you know what? I don't have to worry about any of my girls' tushies hitting toilet water.
We lost Rachel in here, by the way.
They aren't here. And so, I mean, and Renee to remember little Marin at the age of three going, her tushy hit the toilet water and was, she came down hitting me, like physically hitting me, like looking for a belt. I mean, so that, in my entire month of July and the travels to SEC and Big Ten and everything else, that was my most glorious moment, the epiphany I had, the liberation that I can leave the toilet seat up and not have to worry about it.
It's in the middle of the night when you don't turn on the light, you don't see, and you find yourself falling into a toilet. It's awful.
Clearly it's happened to you.